Excellent. You can take your seats this morning. As Taffy said earlier, if you're visiting us for the very first time, we're just so glad that you are here this morning, and we hope that you're a part of all that takes place and feel at home today. So, as we said at the beginning, we have got lots of people away today for many great reasons. Some are on holiday enjoying half term, some are on a mission trip. We've got, I think, six or seven from the Haven congregation over on a mission trip in Poland. We've got people who have gone to a wedding. There's all sorts going on, and a lot of those that are away are actually the noisy ones, right? So some of you today have to find your voice in response as we, not all the noisy ones have gone, Brenda, that's right. Some are still here. But the majority of them who are away are the noisy ones, the chatty ones. That's why you could tell when Taffy did the updates. Did you hear? Silence. So we now know who it is who makes all the noise when updates are being shared, and we'll be staring at them next week. But a massive welcome to you this morning. We have been in a series on our teaching in Sunday mornings entitled Growing God's Family. And don't forget, as Taffy said earlier, next Sunday is our My Church Sunday. And you have an opportunity to put all that we've been communicating into practice by looking to invite somebody along to next Sunday morning. It's going to be a great time together. But let me just quickly recap some of the stuff that we've been looking at. As always, all the messages are available online via the Family Church app, all that kind of stuff. But we've been talking about the fact that God wants a big family. Okay, God's not looking for a small family. He wants his family to be huge. His will, the Bible says, is that none should perish. And so God's not looking at a small, unique family. God's looking at a big, multicultural, noisy, loud, expansive, global family. That's what he is looking for. And he has called you and I to play a part in growing God's family. Remember, Jesus didn't give us a great suggestion. He gave us a great commission. And we have been given that mandate to go into the world, as we were looking at last week. So as we've looked at that, we've communicated a number of key thoughts. Here's a couple of them. Reaching a multitude begins by reaching one. Remember, in the very first week, we said that, yeah, it's great to talk about reaching multitudes, and that's what God is calling us to do, but it all actually begins with reaching one. And one reaches another one. One becomes two, two, four, four, eight, and so on and so on. And God's family begins to multiply. And sometimes when you say, God, you've called me to reach a multitude, that sounds so impossible. But when you understand, God, you've called me to reach one, that sounds all of a sudden so doable and so real. And that one will lead to another one, and so on and so on and so on. And so all of us at least have been called to reach another and to see what God does in terms of that multiplication. And then last week we looked at this truth that reaching the world begins by reaching our world. That there is a world that is unique to you and to me. That world begins with our family, but then it also involves our colleagues, our neighbors, our friends, that barista at your coffee shop that you always go to, whoever it might be, the people who hang out with you at the gym. There is a world that is unique to you. And God has called us to reach that world. We've got to realize that we haven't been randomly placed, but we've been sovereignly planted where God has placed us. But the Bible says he determined the time set for us and the exact places where we would live. And when we begin to realize that, we begin to live each and every day like we are on mission. Okay, we've got the team over in Poland today serving God, doing all sorts of stuff. And so you're like, yeah, they're on a mission trip. So are you. That every day that you wake up, you are on a mission trip where God has placed you, as we spoke about last week. So we've covered a lot in this series. Today we're rounding this off by talking about the fact of what it looks like to represent God well. What does it look like to represent God well? And it's important because it's one thing to know the gospel and to share the gospel. And of course, we should be looking to do that. That's vitally important. But if we don't represent that message well, and if we're living in a way that's actually countercultural to the message that we say we have to share with others, then it will dilute the message that God has given to us. Now, what we're not talking about is being perfect, okay? We talked about that last week. None of us are perfect. We're all on a journey with this. But what we're communicating this morning is that really actions do speak louder than words at times. Or at the very least, actions can diminish the words that we are trying to communicate. And sometimes that sounds like a cliche, actions speak louder than words. But actually for us today, it is a challenge, because the truth is people aren't just listening to what you say about Jesus, they are watching the way that you live your life. Amen? And clearly the Bible shows us that it's not just about the words that we say or the message that we share. It's also fundamentally about the life that we live. Jesus, in some words that we're going to look at later on, said that actually the way that we live can minimize the message that we say that we carry. So this is an important part. As we talk about growing God's family, we can say, yeah, we've got to reach a multitude, and yeah, we've got to reach the world. But actually, this is a key component of that, what it looks like to represent God well. And as we look at that this morning, there's three things that I want to share with you. Three descriptors in the Bible that the Bible says, this is true about you. And as we truly understand those things, we can begin to represent God correctly. So here's the first one. The Bible says this, that we are Christ's ambassadors. We are ambassadors. Look at the person sitting next to you. They are an ambassador. Now, they may not look dressed. Oh, you actually told them. You were just saying, look at them. I mean, you go for it. I mean, don't stop now. I mean, you look at them and you're like, they're just dressed in jeans. And like, no, they're an ambassador. That's what Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal for us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So the first thing we need to understand as we talk about living in such a way that helps God's family to grow is that we are ambassadors. Now let's look at that, because you may be brand new to the Bible, you may be new to church, and you're like, what on earth does that mean? I'm an ambassador. What on earth are you going on about? Or you may have heard these verses many times before, but you're not truly living in the power of them. You, the Bible says, are an ambassador. Okay, so what does an ambassador do in a natural sense? What is their role? How do they outwork that role? Here's a few things we need to understand about ambassadors. They represent their leader and their nation. So an ambassador is a voice and a presence of their country in a foreign land. We have UK ambassadors all around the world representing the UK in those nations. If you go to certain parts of London, you'll come across where all the embassies are. There's about 165 embassies in London, and they represent different nations, and each of them have an ambassador representing their nation in the UK. So an ambassador represents their leader and their nation. An ambassador lives in a foreign culture, but they don't blend in. So a big part of being an ambassador is to understand that even though you're surrounded by different cultures, you don't forget where you come from. And your role is to represent, almost to stand out, to represent the nation of your homeland. What else do? They speak with authority. Because when they speak a message on behalf of a nation, they're communicating on behalf of a nation. They're not just sharing their own opinion. So their words carry weight, their words carry power, and finally they build relationships. Again, their whole role is built around networking and establishing trust, connecting with people, fostering communication. Okay, so how does all of that fit into what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth when he says, you are Christ's ambassadors? We need to understand that Paul says you're an ambassador. You're not representing a nation, you're representing a king and his kingdom, amen? But we've just sung about it a moment ago. We represent King Jesus. You say, well, I'm just going into my workplace. Yes, you are, but you're also representing King Jesus and the kingdom of God in that environment and in that place. Philippians 3 verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, just as the Bible communicates, we're in this world, we're living in this world, but we are not of this world. We're to stand by the values of a culture that we are from, and we've been given this message to share with others as we build a relationship. So what does that look like in a practical sense? Because we can talk about the theory of this, the theology of this, but here we don't preach for Sunday morning head knowledge alone. We believe that what we communicate has to be outworked on a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, and so on and so on, okay? So how does this look practically? Let's look at your workplace. Your workplace may be an environment where you say, do you know, it's not very spiritual. my job that I do, it isn't very spiritual. Now, we understand the Bible says that we do all things as unto God, not as unto man. So in a sense, all that we do is spiritual. Everything that we're a part of is spiritual. But you might say, well, it's really not very much a spiritual job. How can I represent Jesus and the kingdom of God in my workplace? Maybe you're in a fractious environment and there's a lot of backbiting and gossiping and cutting corners and seeking revenge when people are wronged. And you say, do you know what? As Christ's ambassador, I may not go in there and say, hey, everybody gather around, I'm going to preach to you this morning. But you can be somebody who steps in and shows integrity. You can be somebody who encourages others. You can be somebody who, when everybody else is ducking down, you own your mistake. You say, that was me. I'm owning that mistake. I apologize for that mistake that I have made. You can pray for your team. You can believe outside of work for God to interact and be an influence in your team. You may not be quoting Jesus according to them, but you are standing out as a citizen of the kingdom of God. So all of a sudden, you understand, I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of God in my workplace. How about on social media? You think, well, that's innocent. I'm just scrolling through. I'm just looking on my phone. No, no, no. You can be an ambassador for the kingdom of God on social media in a world where it's so easy to get caught in comparison and arguments and attention seeking. And so you can use social media to build others up rather than tear others down. You can choose to look at social media and instead of the constant self-promotion and jumping into divisive threads. Some of you're scrolling through and you're like, and you want to continue scrolling through, but you just can't help it. You're like, I've got to jump into this one. And I would just stay out of it, but they need to know the truth and they don't understand. So I'm just going to jump right into the middle of this and you get caught up in amongst all that is going on in the ways of this world. How about use your social media to share hope? Use your social media to share wisdom, the wisdom of God, not your own wisdom. Even just show joy and peace in everyday life. All of a sudden, you're scrolling through your phone and you're being an ambassador for the kingdom of God on social media. How about in your relationships with family and friends? You know, relationships can be difficult at times. They can be messy. Conflict is an unavoidable part of life. People get on your nerves, right? Obviously, none of us get on each other's nerves in this place, but outside of this church community, people can get on your nerves. And there's a temptation to respond just as the rest of the world is responding. You hold grudges, you ghost people, or else you can choose to be part of the kingdom of God and say, I seek reconciliation. I choose to forgive even when they haven't even apologized yet. I choose to serve my partner or my spouse without manipulation. What are you doing in all of these examples? You are representing Jesus in the kingdom of God. You are being an ambassador for the kingdom of God. You see how being part of a family of God and growing God's family doesn't just affect the things we say, but it should affect the things that we do. And when we live like that and when we're praying, God, give me opportunity. God, give me opportunity. Let me tell you how many times the doorway will open up for conversation when you have lived a certain way. Now, when it does, and when God opens up opportunity, that's when we've got to know the message that we carry. Here's a really important part, because the message we carry is outlined in the verses before the one we just read earlier. So 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. It says, and all of this, and he's just been talking about the new creation miracle that Tony was outlining a moment ago. He said, you know, you're a brand new creature in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. He says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. God has given you, not just me, loudmouth with a microphone, God has given each of us a wonderful message to share with the world around us. That message is this, that broken relationship with God caused by sin can be restored through Jesus. God wants reconciliation with those that he has created, and he has paid the price for that to happen. Amen? which was on the cross at some point before Jesus died, at some point before the veil was torn in two, at some point before he raised his body and cried out those three words, "It is finished." At some point on the cross, a spiritual exchange took place where God placed upon the body of Jesus Christ all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the punishment that sin deserved, and he did a perfect job. Do we believe that this morning? And here's the good news. God is no longer counting people's sins against them. Not because he's turned a blind eye. Not because he's ignoring it. Not because he's gone soft on sin and all that kind of stuff. But because the justice our sin demanded has been satisfied. That's why the gospel is good news. Amen? Amen? Okay, good. Just checking. The gospel is good news. Sometimes you hear the gospel being shared by some people and it doesn't sound like good news. It sounds almost like bad, judgmental news. It sounds like scary news. It sounds like weird news. But the message of the gospel is good news. The message of the gospel is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but to me that is good news. Verse 17, he goes on, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It is good news. You have been given the message of reconciliation. And so every day that you wake up, every day that you walk out of your front door, you carry the most important message known to man. How much does that change your day? You say, oh, I'm just going to work. It's going to be an average day. I'm just seeing some friends. No. You're walking around as an ambassador for the kingdom of God. You think those ambassadors in London are important. You're way more important than them. You're walking around as an ambassador for the kingdom of God, carrying the most important message on planet Earth, the message known as the message of reconciliation. The message that says God has done all that needs to happen. And he now invites you to be part of his growing family by simply accepting what Jesus has done for you. Now here's the key. Opportunities to share that message open up when you live in a way that causes others to look at you and say, I want what they have. It doesn't come by saying, let me tell you about the message of reconciliation. They look at you and say, I don't really want to know about the message of reconciliation. But when you're living in such a way that others say, what is different about her? What is different about him? It opens up the doorway to share the most important message known to man. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of God, an ambassador for Jesus. Here's another couple of things. We'll bunch these two together. That are descriptors of who you are as you live your everyday life. The Bible says that you are salt and you are light. You are salt and you are light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And the Amplified says this, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste and its purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good deeds and your moral excellence, and they will recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How many of you've got people in your life, be it friends, be it family, be it colleagues, be it neighbors, you want them to recognize God, right? You want them to honor God. You want them to glorify God just as you do in your life. You want them to become a part of God's growing family. Let's look at how the Bible says that happens. Because yes, the message that's spoken out of our mouths is so vitally important. That goes without saying. But we don't want it disqualified. We don't want it muted by the way that we have been living. Because listen, you can talk to your colleague all you want about the grace of God, the goodness of God. But if all they ever see from your life is gossip, insecurity, manipulation, why would they want what you say that you have? You can tell your spouse at home or your partner at home, oh, it was amazing what we learned on Sunday. You should be coming along with me on Sundays. You need to be in church. You can tell them all you like that they need to be in church. But if all they ever see from you midweek is anger and bitterness, why would they want to serve the God that you say that you serve? So let's look at these words in Matthew 5. And in Matthew 5, Jesus is teaching what is commonly known as the Beatitudes. In verse 1 and 2, show us that a large crowd has gathered, but it makes it clear that he is speaking to his disciples. He is teaching his disciples. And in the context of that, he says this, you are. Not you might be, not you can be, not you will be if you do all the courses that the church are putting on for you right now. No, he says, you are salt and light. And he begins to share this message that's essentially about influence. But he says, when we truly live kingdom lifestyles, we will gain influence. We will gain a voice. And the message that we carry, that message of reconciliation, will be amplified in our lives. Because once again, let me underline, evangelism is not just about the words that we say, it's also about the life that we live. Jesus says, you are salt. Now, what does salt do? One of the things salt does, it adds flavor to something that is bland, right? Many of you probably, like me, eat far too much salt, pour far too much salt on your food. I'm one of these people, I know there'll be others here, who put salt on before I actually taste the food. It gets me in a lot of trouble at home. But I'm trying to work on it and trying to de-salt myself, if that ever is a thing. But some of you do that. What is it about salt? It tastes good. It adds flavor to something that is bland. And there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, we need to live as salt in such a way that people say, they have something that I don't have. What do we have? We have this understanding that Psalm says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And there's an overflow in our lives from that. And so when we live that way, it's attractive to others that opens the doorway for conversation. And yet there's another aspect to this. Because salt in Jesus' day wasn't predominantly used for taste, it was used to make sure that the food was cleansed and to preserve the meat that was given, right? They didn't have fridges. When you read the Bible, when you read in that moment with Mary and Martha, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet and Martha's running around doing all the cooking, doing all the preparation, please understand there's no American-style fridge freezer, okay, that Martha opens up and says, oh, what should I choose today? They would have used salt in that time to rub over the meat, to preserve the meat for as long as it could be preserved. And in a sense, Jesus was making this point also, that in a world that is decaying, in a world where moral standards are evaporating, in an age where mold is growing on the purity of mankind, the followers of Jesus, the church of Jesus Christ, should be the ones who are preserving God's moral excellence and standard. Not through judgment, not through looking down at our nose at all the world around us, but in a way that displays something else, be it in our speech, be it in our purity, our motives, our responses to stuff. We are to live different. We are to live flavorsome lives that point to Jesus as the answer. And if we live in a kingdom way, guess what? We are salt. We don't have to try and be salt. We don't have to force salt. We are salt. Just as the Bible says, be holy as God is holy. When you understand what God has done in you, you're not trying to be holy. You understand you are holy. Holy is your identity and you live out of that place. Just as the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on and so on. You can't force love. You've tried it. It doesn't work. You can't try and force joy. That comes from understanding the Holy Spirit being resident inside of your life. And as you draw on the life of God within you, all of a sudden you have love that you've never experienced before. You have joy that's uncontainable. You have peace that surpasses all understanding. Not because you're trying harder, but because you're drawing on the life of God within you. And then Jesus adds this warning. But if salt loses its taste, if salt loses its purpose, what good is it? He says, it's worthless, it's dull, it's insipid, it's useless in what it's trying to achieve. And when we lose sight of who we are as followers of Jesus, our effectiveness in this world and in the message that we carry will be diminished. Jesus says, you are salt. And then he says the same thing in kind of a different context. He says, and you are light. And he asks them this question, are you going to live in such a way that that light shines, or are you going to live in such a way that you hide the potential of that light in a dark world? You see, here's what Jesus understood. You don't need a lot of light to dispel darkness. We know that, right? That you have a dark room, you turn on a torch, suddenly there's an attraction to the light. You're in a dark space, you just flick a small match, all of a sudden there's light in that dark place. In other words, as we've been saying over the last few weeks, God isn't looking for you to be Billy Graham in your workplace. If you are, great, but he's not asking that of you. He's just asking you to be salt and light in a dark world. And all of a sudden, your light shines in the midst of that workplace, in the midst of that neighborhood, in the midst of that family. God calls us to stand out, no matter how dark the world gets. Now, many people today, you talk to people, Christians, they're obsessed with how dark the world is getting, right? You're having a conversation with them. Isn't Jesus good? Yeah, but the world is getting dark, isn't it? And it's getting weirder, and now that's happening. Did you see that on the news? And they're obsessed with darkness. Now, the Bible calls us to be wise, I understand that, to be discerning, to know the signs and the seasons. I understand all of that. But sometimes I want to say, and I do say to Christians, how about we talk more about the light of Christ than the darkness of this world? Because the Bible says the world will get darker. Shock, horror, it's going to get worse. But as it gets worse, the Bible also says that the light of Christ within us will shine brighter against the backdrop of darkness. We've got to be a church that focus on what Jesus is doing, not getting obsessed with the darkness of the world around us. God has called us to stand out. Not in a way that's judgmental. Not in a way that's religious. Guess what? People weren't attracted to religion in Jesus' day. They still aren't today. It will still repel them in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family today. So Jesus had something different in mind when he spoke about standing out. He was saying, when the people around your life see the way that you live, when they see that you love, that you're generous, that you're forgiven, when they also see that the gospel that you talk about isn't powerless but carries the power of Christ, that when we lay our hands on the sick, they recover, and so on, that there is power in this gospel, they'll be brought closer to the kingdom of God. And notice he doesn't say, oh, and by the way, this is how I want you to be in the temple. He didn't say, this is how I want you, family church, to be when you gather once a week on Sunday morning, or when you're in Connect Group. Yeah, come on, let's really let our light shine. He wasn't saying that. He said, this is who you are, and this is who I want you to be on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and every single day that you are alive, you are called to be light in the darkness and salt in a decaying world. And as we do, we stand out. The gospel should cause you to stand out. Now, not as a weirdo, not as somebody who's judgmental, not as somebody who they label as different. I'm talking about when the gospel is at work within your life, when you're carrying a message of reconciliation that is backed up by the way that you live, people look at you and are attracted to the life within you. So yes, Pastor, does the gospel matter? Of course the gospel matters. Does what we communicate matters? Of course what we communicate matters. But actually hiding your light can disqualify and mute the message that we carry. The Apostle Paul spoke about this night and day difference. In a sense, he was talking about being salt and light and the difference that it made. So let's look at this quickly. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, so put to death and deprive the power of power, the evil longings of your earthly body, with its sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire, greed, which is a kind of idolatry, because it replaces your devotion to God. Because of these sinful things, the divine wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who walk in these sinful things, as you also once walked, when you were habitually living in them without the knowledge of Christ. But now as new creations, now as salt and light, rid yourself completely of all these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene, abusive, filthy, vulgar language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. And it goes on and on and on to talk about what it looks like to live in a new creation. Now you may say, well, that sounds impossible. I can't live that way. And I would agree with you if it was based on our own human effort. But when we understand that God has given us his Holy Spirit, and as I said, as we draw on the life of the Spirit, we can live different. Different to before. Different to the world around us. So different that people want to know who or what makes the difference. That we live in a way where we don't even have to verbalize the message that we're carrying at times. Where we walk into places and our life says, I don't need a truckload of alcohol in order to have joy, because I have joy within me. I don't need to have received something in order to give, because I understand that the world of the generous grows larger and larger. I don't need to receive an apology before I forgive, because I've been called to forgive as I have been forgiven, and so on and so on and so on. A life that is different. Okay, let's summarize. When we speak one thing, but we live another, it diminishes the message that we carry. What Jesus is asking of you, not in your own strength, but through the life of the Holy Spirit, is to live kingdom lifestyles. Because kingdom lifestyles will become a fascination to the people around you. Trust me. Where they will begin to ask questions of this God that you serve. Final verses, 1 Peter 2, 11 to 12. It says this: Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Amen. Okay, let's bring this all in and wrap this all up. We'll end with prayer. Grow in God's family. Here's what we've come to realize and be reminded of over the last few weeks. Reaching a multitude begins by reaching one. Who is your one? Next week, we have a My Church. So who is your one that you will look to invite? Reaching a multitude begins with reaching one. Reaching the world begins by reaching our world. And finally, reaching people with the message begins by truly living out the message. This week, as you combine all of those things, a heart of understanding that you are on mission, you are a mystery where God has placed you. When you understand there's a life that God has called me to live, I'm not going to try and do this to look perfect. I'm just going to try and live out the life of Christ within me. And as I do, I understand I'm an ambassador. And I'm salt and I'm light. And I'm just going to live as God has called me to live and pray that it opens up opportunities to share this wonderful message of reconciliation. That there is a God in heaven who loves mankind and has made a way for them to step back into relationship with him. That they can come and be a part of God's growing family. As you wake up every morning, beginning tomorrow morning, with that understanding, I am on mission. God has placed me here. God has put me in this job. It may not last, but God has put me in this job. God has placed me in this house. I may be moving soon, but God has placed me in this house. God has positioned me in this friendship group. God has positioned me in this family. God has positioned me where he has placed me right now. It may not be where I've always been, and it may not be where I always am. But right now, as Taffy said, this is the day the Lord has made. Today is an opportunity. And as we live out each day with that understanding, you just watch the world that God opens up to you to share this wonderful message of reconciliation. Let's just close our eyes as we draw this in this morning. Very quickly, I want to firstly give an opportunity for anybody who's never given their life to Jesus, who's never accepted this message of reconciliation, or maybe you once did and you wandered away from God. And today, I just want to give you that opportunity as we always do on a Sunday morning. If that's you here this morning and you say, I want to be reconciled to God. If you want to be able to say, I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see the truth of what life is about. If that's you here today and you want to come into relationship with a living and loving God, I want to invite you to do something so simple this morning, and we're going to pray for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand nice and high, and you can then put it back down. Just if that's you, if we're already all walking with God, brilliant. But if you're not, then this is a perfect opportunity to take that first step or to come back in a relationship with God this morning. Thank you. As we close, let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you. But I don't need to commission these people because you already have through your son, Jesus. God, thank you that you have given us a great commission, that we are ambassadors for you. And Lord, I pray that this coming week we will be salt. We will be light that's effective in a decaying and a dark world. Jesus, we thank you that as you are lifted high, all men will be drawn unto you. Lord, we thank you that this coming week, as we have conversations and as invitations are shared for next Sunday morning, Lord, I thank you that that will not land on hard soil. But Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the soil of people's hearts across the UK right now, that we are seeing people step forward and saying yes to God. So we thank you that this week, there will be opportunity. And as there is opportunity, Lord, I pray for courage and boldness simply to say, come and see. That invitation, come and see. And next Sunday morning, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this place. But we don't just rely on one event. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in and through our lives each and every single day. And Lord, we thank you that your family will not remain as it is, but your family will continue to grow and multiply for your glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Brilliant. Let's give him praise this morning. So don't forget, this week, be inviting people along to next Sunday morning. As Taffy said, stick around. I'm sure the sun is shining. So head to the gardens. If you don't know where you're heading, come and speak to us and we will guide you there, and have an incredible God-filled week. Blessings upon you all.